I just wanted to acknowledge how fortunate we all are to live in a place that within 5 minutes of a phone call, you get three competent, kind people who will show up and help you.
I'm just feeling really grateful and relieved that it's not a serious, it doesn't seem like a serious thing. Because when it first happened, I didn't know what was happening. Could have been very serious.
Yes. Yeah.
I found that after you suggested that the that we sit and meditate or just be mindful as the ambulance came and showed up, that I started to think about mindfulness of the body and how it was challenging to be fully centered and present, but it was something for me to work on.
I'm CPR and AED certified, so you have to, you are taught to help someone.
Yeah.
It's really hard. There is a few seconds when you kind of acknowledge what's happening and you have to make a decision of intervening or not. And that few seconds is really hard. And I don't know if it was the same for our doctors, but you know, just facing reality, something is happening and someone needs help. So.
Yeah.
I didn't hear Gil suggest that people continue meditating, so my observation, I was kind of out there looking and seeing that some people were meditating still and some weren't. And I know for myself, my anxiety level really went up. It just triggered times in my life when I've had to call 911 and so on. So not knowing that Gil had instructed, suggested meditation, I was just so curious as how is it some people can meditate and others are freaking out like me, maybe. And I am curious as how was it for those people who just chose to meditate?
But you know, the two aren't exclusive of each other. The two are not exclusive of each other. Yeah. And some of the people might have been freaking out, and well, that, and they were meditating with that. That's and that might have been very useful meditation to really kind of be present for all the feelings and reactions and all that. So they're trying to be with that. And you asked for those people's reactions, but I was actually very grateful that most of you, a lot of you, seem to sit quiet and calm and not create a big fuss. Now, it could have been a little bit of chaotic to have a lot of people crowded around, and I think most of you realized that it was being attended to hopefully well, and then to offer that calm presence even if you're freaking out inside, I think it's very helpful in a situation like that for everyone concerned. I think it was good. So yes.
I was like figuring, you know, the thing to do is to stay out of the way, you know, and but I found when I was trying to sit and just be calm, I was sort of like, you know, wanting to hear what was going on and what were the questions, but then I was like, oh, but I shouldn't listen because this is private and all these personal questions. So I sort of felt like this pulling over to, and that happens to me a lot. Even like when I read a book, I'm kind of like really leaning into it a lot. So.
Thank you. Yes.
For me, it brought up an instant response of going to metta practice, and it makes me realize that that's a good thing, and there's also some part of me that might have some magical thinking around, well, if I do metta really hard, she'll be okay. So, and then it was interesting to watch all of what came up, you know, tears, kind of chills over my body as I had thoughts that I was concerned about her, you know, thinking women can have heart attacks and the symptoms can be very different. And then just noticing that the breathing through all of that didn't change. It stayed really calm while I was feeling these kind of like lightning storms of this and that go through my body. So as practice, it was very interesting experience.
Mm-hmm. So one of the questions is, you know, if you do metta practice, situation like, you know, is it magical thinking to think that it benefits the person? And I think, you know, that to have metta, loving kindness, kindness and friendliness as a response, where it's included and accepted, this is what's happening, and not to treat it as a disturbance or as a problem and that causes the person to feel embarrassed or feel like the person has disrupted something, is a very generous thing to do. It's helpful for the person. And that's how I see it. I see it more as, you know, I it's unfortunate that it happened, but to hold it with kindness and, you know, and without kindness, is this is what's happening, as opposed to, oh no, this, you know, not here, not now. So I think metta can have a big impact. Yes. Yeah. Oh, why don't we do it?
It was interesting because I came today for a break from medical concerns. Someone mentioned a friend, because I'm anticipating surgery with a family member, is to send metta to the surgical team. And I felt that for the people here attending her, to both send that to the people who are assisting.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I thought, how can I? I thought, how can I really help? What would be really helpful? So I attempted to go see if I can do something, but I found that there's enough people there to help, and you said she's okay. So I came back, and since I'm taking the breath class with you, I sat down and observed my breath, and I thought, I wanted to help, but I'm helping by just being, staying away, and being clear that I did what I needed to do. And so I was observing my breath, and that's what I did.
Great, thank you. Hi.
Yeah, I found myself grateful for the experience.
I found myself grateful for the experience. I've been in situations where I've had to be responsible for people's welfare, and my first instinct was to get up and organize and help, but what I was grateful for was, as soon as I realized that there were doctors in the room and you were attending, that I was actually able to just let go of that and realize I didn't have to be in the middle of it, and my actions weren't going to make a difference one way or the other. And the other thing I was grateful for was I was a little bit anxious for a few split seconds that I would find it distracting and annoying and be angry that this was happening during the meditation. And I didn't want to feel that way because, of course, this is someone's welfare. And I guess what I was really grateful for was that without forcing it, I just found myself every time there was noise or laughter, you know, or a bump, again, without forcing it, just feeling grateful for that, that, wow, she's okay, she's laughing, she's talking, instead of being annoyed about the distraction, which I was afraid I would be. So,
thank you.
The experience evoked me about the fact that there is a common friend of ours here named Betsy Meehan, who is in the process of gathering information and trying to know, as a community, what we want, if we want anything at all, to develop as a community in terms of assisting others in all kinds of situations, whether it be in marriage or birth or difficult situation like this. So I guess here's a thought that we all can have. Should you have any kind of ideas about what you want to have as a community, maybe Betsy Meehan will be a good person to contact, because she's developing a program for all of us here. Thanks.
Well, I had some concerns about the air quality as facility person here. Sometimes I walk in and it feels very dense, and I go and maybe open a back door or something. I'm wondering if there is something, some window or such that we could just open to allow more circulation of oxygen, because, you know, I'm just aware of it as I'm in this space. And I seem to need more of that when I'm, you know, with a lot of bodies together. So,
great. We'll think about that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was mindful of how the attendants were taking care of her. Yesterday I had a conversation. I do spiritual care volunteering at Stanford, and I was in the office, and someone from Lima Mortuary came, a young woman, to pick up a body. And I said, well, how's that for you? And she said, well, some people treat the body as if it was luggage. And she said, I think of it as my mama in the back, and I don't want her to hit her head when I put the gurney in. And she says, well, when you put the gurney in, sometimes it hits a bar and it leaves a mark that I can't take out. So I was checking it out and seeing how they were, you know, checking the whole thing out, and thinking also of when people like this have come to pick up my dead. So that was my thing.
Over here. Wait a second, Mike.
Hello?
Yes.
I haven't been here for quite some time. And I got here and I was feeling agitated and not meditating very well. And this just seemed like such an intimate moment. We were sharing things about her, her comments and her physical state. And I was just struck by how much community there was here. And I found myself meditating better. And it calmed me just to be here and to be experiencing this intimate moment with her and with among ourselves. So for some reason it calmed me down, and I was able to meditate better or more consistently.
Yeah, so something like this can really certainly focus the mind. Yeah. A lot of things that seemed important before might have felt less important. Petty concerns of the mind.
Well, it was interesting when everybody shared to see how people checked the situation and then decided not to help or to help in breathing and meditating. For me, it was the opposite. What I would usually do years ago would sit there and be too shy to get involved. But this time I went, and I do acupressure, so I hold some points. And so for me, it was a different... I got involved, what I wouldn't have done 2 years ago. So I'm seeing that my whole tendency is anyway to get more engaged instead of holding myself back and being on the outside. So that was interesting to see.
one of the, you mean, I think, my hope is that Buddhist practice, mindfulness practice, makes people at some point more available, more willing to engage and respond to the world's needs. And a very powerful image for this for me was the years that I meditated at the San Francisco Zen Center. It was kind of in the kind of a little more dangerous parts of town, San Francisco Zen Center back then, particularly. And it was not unusual to have get up in the morning, early in the morning, to meditate at 5 o'clock, and to have something happen in the alley outside or something down the street, someone getting mugged or some cars being broken into or something. And it was quite something to see, like someone yelled out for help. There'd be 50 people in the meditation hall. They'd all jump out, you know, jump up and dash out the door, and to respond, to rather than sitting there quietly, mindfully, listening, help, help. rather, there was this, you know, this, as far as I could tell, a spontaneous movement. Like, yes, this is what we do, we respond. So for me, that image for me, was kind of represents to me, you know, this idea that what we're looking for here is not retreating from the world, but to actually be able to be more responsive in a helpful way in the world. And I hope that meditation helps that. So deep the connection we have with people, to ourselves, and to actually kind of touch the depth of that, is a touching thing. The depth of human connection is so diverse, so many different ways in which it happens, and to feel our, you know, the depth inside of us as we connect with someone else, and vice versa. What happened in my mind saying all this is that I'm involved here at IMC in a Buddhist chaplaincy training program, and the people we're training as chaplains, as Buddhist chaplain kind of people, are write these essays for us, reflections on their experiences. And we took some of them to visit the hospice at Lugunahanda. And one of them wrote about his experiences at the hospice, visiting there. And walking down the... It's a big open ward, you know, lots of people in beds in these wards. People dying of AIDS. And there was one person, one man who was dying there. And... seemed like it was, you know, getting to the, close to the end for him. And here was this small group of people kind of walking down the ward, kind of on tour, right? Watching, looking at it, and down there. And that's pretty touching, it's meaningful. But what was really struck this person, and struck me as I wrote about him, writing about it, was as he walked by the person who was dying, it was very clear in his eyes that he wanted to be left alone. And to me, that was really touching. You know, the idea of, you know, if you encounter, you're in the presence of someone who's dying, you know, that's a real big need someone has, or it's a big, big moment. And it seems such a strong desire, at least in me, you know, to respond, to help, to be present for someone. But in the depth of that contact, that meeting, being present for someone as they're dying, and it's really clear the person wants to be left alone. So you leave the person alone. So this impulse to be present, to be helpful, you know, that's not appropriate. The way it's appropriate to express it is to leave the person alone, is to keep walking down the ward. And that was very touching for me. What is the depth of human contact? What is it to respond to people? What is it to meet someone else in their suffering? What is it to meet ourselves when we meet someone else in suffering? What's the interactions, the relationship between self and other? And I believe that the process of being mindful can be understood partly of being still, attentive enough, so that we can feel and experience the full range of things that go on in that depth. And I appreciated the range of responses that many of you had here who spoke. And there are probably other responses here as well to this event. I hope that what happened today here at IMC motivates you in the best, healthy ways, motivates you to find value in the human connection between people and the possibility of a deep connection in yourself. And that perhaps the practice of paying attention can help you really come to terms or resolve or free up the depths of your human compassion and love for yourself and for others. It's wonderful to have a practice. It's one of the many really profound things in human life to have a practice, whether it's mindfulness practice, meditation practice, or prayer practice, or something else. And I think that moments like this, hopefully, are motivating for tapping into that those wonderful practices that we have. So let's end with just a moment, a couple minutes here of some doing a little loving kindness practice. So if you all can just take a few moments and just settle yourself. Close your eyes. And our life now has been touched by Elaine and indirectly her husband and her son. Paramedics who came here and paramedics and Elaine who went to emergency at Kaiser and people there. So as we sit here, may we find within us some part of our hearts that has the wish, the hope, the aspiration that people are happy, healthy, safe, at peace. And if we can find that place where that wish resides, it's a beautiful thing to one way or the other give expression to that wish. Not just let it be there forgotten in the recesses of the heart, but perhaps in your own mind, silently, to give expression, words to that. And if the usual way of guiding loving kindness meditation is for you to silently repeat the following words that I say. May Elaine be happy. May she be safe. May she be healthy. And may she be at ease. And may the web of people, the network of people who are in touch with her today, all of us here, with all the different responses that we have here today, and all the people she'll encounter at the hospital, her family, and the network goes outwards. May all those people be happy. May all those people be safe. May all those people be healthy. May all those people be at ease. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be at ease. And may whatever goodness and benefit that we receive from during our practice, may those benefits, merit, goodness, may it intentionally, may it clearly spread from us, each individual one of us, out into our society and communities and neighborhoods, so that somehow what we do here is helpful for all beings everywhere. May all beings be free. Thank you.